In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
Brothers and sisters, in these last 2 weeks, we've been looking at depression and anxiety, and ways to deal with these things, ways to get past them, to work through them, because they're part of our journey to the kingdom. They're things we have to face up to, things we have to overcome, things we have to master. We have to become the master of depression and anxiety. I want to share with you as we close on this subject and we move to a new subject, which will be mastering freedom. I want to share with you an analogy from St. Simeon the New Theologian, one of the great fathers of the church. He says, picture yourself as a poor person, and you're invited to the king's palace for a great banquet. And you come, and there's a great feast laid out before you. And the master says, not only fill yourself, but take as much as you can home with you for tomorrow, for your family, for your friends, for the poor. Take as much as you can home so that you will never run out. Would we take the master up on this invitation? Of course we would. Because being poor, we would be anxious for ourselves and for those that we care about. We would be filled with anxiety, and that anxiety would spur us on to do what was prudent, what was wise. St. Simeon says that this analogy really has nothing to do with the things of this world. This analogy has to do with the things of God. The king is God himself, the palace is his church, and the feast is that a grace that is bestowed upon us. And we're offered to take as much of this grace home with us so that we don't run out, so there's enough for tomorrow, so there's enough for our family, for our friends, for those who are poor who don't have it. And it's this anxiety for spiritual life, for eternal life, that makes us make the prudent decision. And that's to take as much as we can, which is freely given to us for that very purpose. But he says, and he gives a wonderful, wonderful illustration of this. He says that we don't normally think about these eternal things. We think about temporal things. Our anxiety is for the things of the earth, not for the things of God. But he says, if you know that all visible things are a shadow and all pass away, are you not ashamed of playing with shadows and hoarding transitory things? Like a child, you draw water with a bucket full of holes. And that's what the earthly life is really all about. Trying to draw as much water and bring it with us so we don't run out, but it's running out right before us, out of the very pail that we're drawing it with. Worldly things run through our hands like sands through an hourglass. We need to seek after that which is eternal. And to have some anxiety for this eternal life. We need to master anxiety before it masters us. In today's subject, we need to master freedom before it masters us as well. How could freedom master us? Is that possible? Isn't freedom a good thing? Anxiety, we say, well, that's a bad thing. I understand how that could master me. But isn't freedom something that's good? Well, it is. But every good thing has to have a godly use. It was given to us for a purpose. In today's gospel reading, we hear of the centurion who comes to the Lord, and he comes to have his servant healed. His servant is lying at home paralyzed. And he comes and he asks the Lord to heal him. And showing such great faith that he says, don't even come to my house, it's not necessary. Just say the word and I know that my servant will be healed. It's such great faith. The Lord commends him for this faith. And the man says, the reason why he has such faith, he says, I also am a man under authority. And I have soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. So my servant, do this, and he does it. He was a centurion. How many troops does a centurion have under him?
100.
About 100. At different times, it was 80, 100, 200, even up to 1,000 men. Different times in the Roman Empire. But 100 is the classic amount. Was the centurion the head of the army? He was the head of his century of troops. But no, there were 60 centurions in a legion. And the legion was headed by a legion legate. This was usually a senator or someone appointed by the emperor, and they held the office for 3 to 4 years, roughly. The centurion was someone who commanded troops, but he was also commanded. And he knew the importance of obedience. He knew what it was to be under authority and to have authority. And he knew that the Lord had an authority beyond anything on earth. He had the authority of God himself. He was able to command any and everything. The centurion was a man of faith. We read in one of the other synoptic accounts that he had a good relationship with the Jews in Capernaum. He also built them a synagogue. He was a God-fearing man. The Lord said, not even in Israel have I seen this. Such great faith. The centurion had a servant, and his servant was sick. Servant in the scriptures, the Greek word is doulos. And there were two basic types of servants. There were those who were indentured servants, who worked as slaves for a certain period of time. They were under contract, and then they were granted something at the end of their contract. There were also those who were bond servants, and they were servants for life. In the Old Testament, we actually read about these two types of servants. In Exodus chapter 21, if a servant declares, and this is an indentured servant, a servant for a certain amount of time, if a servant declares, I love my master and my wife and children and do not want to go free, then his master must take him before the judges. He shall take him to the door or the doorpost and pierce his ear with an awl. Then he will be his servant for life. It's interesting. You could be an indentured servant who becomes a bond servant. Why would anyone become a servant for life? Well, it just says, if the person loves the master, if they have love for the master, they'll make themselves a servant for life. They'll be happy serving because of love. In the Old Testament, there were many who were called servants. Among them, some names that you might recognize, but probably not thinking of them as servants. Those called servants in the Old Testament were Abraham, Joshua, who led the people into the promised land, David, the king, Isaiah, the prophet. They were called servants. They considered themselves servants of the Lord. In the New Testament, there were people who described themselves as bond servants of Christ, servants for life. Who were they? St. Paul, Apostle Timothy, Apostle James, the brother of the Lord, Apostle Peter, Apostle Jude. They all described themselves as bond servants of Christ. They were servants who loved their master and willingly became his slave forever. A doulos was someone who is subservient to and entirely at the disposal of their master. They own nothing for themselves. Everything was owned by the master. And I'm not just talking about their resources, but even their time. Everything was God's for his servants. And why would they do this? Well, quite simply that this is what the Lord told them to do. And this is what the Lord did himself. What does the Lord say to his disciples? Whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Elsewhere he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, neither is he who is sent greater than him who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Blessed are you if you become servants of God, servants of one another. Well, that's foolishness. According to the world, it is, right? According to the Christian, foolishness is actually wisdom. The wisdom of the world, foolishness. Freedom is something that is given by God. Something that's really innate to life itself. We were made to be free. We were given a free will. But that freedom is so often misused, misunderstood. It's so often lost. The freedom that God gave to us was not a freedom from Him, or His ways, or His righteousness, or His laws. It wasn't a freedom that shows itself in anarchy and rebellion. It wasn't a freedom that seeks to be independent from God. And even if we wanted to, could we really be independent from the law of God? As a youngster, I used to love to play basketball. And I was okay, but there were certain things I couldn't do. One of the things I couldn't really do was dunk a basketball. Couldn't dunk a basketball. Why? Because I couldn't get freedom from the law of gravity. It wasn't possible for me. I wanted to, I just couldn't overcome it. Now as an adult, as I'm aging, I seek sometimes to be free from the laws of anatomy. Be able to eat whatever I want to eat without it weighing me down even more. And be able to kind of be free from these laws of nature. And we can't. We really cannot. One of the things that I'm realizing too is in my fallenness, I try to be free not just from the laws of nature, the physical world, the material world, but I seek sometimes to be free from the laws of the spiritual world, the laws of virtue. And at the top of the pyramid of the laws of virtue is the law of love. Love for God and love for one's neighbor. I seek to be free from this servitude to God and His righteousness. And little by little, I begin to realize I can't. The conscience will not let me. The church will not let me. God will not let me. Because I'm not meant to be freed from love. I'm meant to be bound by love. Because love is what binds me to God, God to me, me to my neighbor, and my neighbor to me. Love is what binds us together. It is good to be bound. As we are here on this Independence Day weekend, 4th of July is coming up, we think about freedom. This freedom that was given to us by God. This freedom that was defended and protected by those who served, and we honor them. Those who gave their lives, those who shed their blood to protect this freedom. And what a great gift freedom is. This is the freedom that's sought by those under tyranny. This freedom that we have. But it's also the freedom that regrettably is so undervalued by we who have it. We don't value this freedom. And this freedom then will be lost by those who misuse it. How can we lose freedom by misusing it? If I'm free, I can do whatever I want to do. Can't I? How do I lose it? By using it. St. Paul gives us an indication. He says, "All things are permitted to me, but not all things are profitable." All things are permitted to me, but not all things build up. What is not profitable? What doesn't build up? What takes away freedom? But sin. Sin is what binds us, not to God and our neighbor, just the opposite, to death and to isolation. So St. Paul says, after he says, All things are permitted, but not all things profit, not all things build up. He says, let each one seek not his own, but that of the other. That's how we're meant to use our freedom. Not for ourselves, but for God, for our neighbor, in love, in service to them. And of course, we see this in Christ. St. Paul again to the Philippians, he says, do not let each man look upon his own things, but each man must look upon the things of the other. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God, but he made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and he was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient even unto death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him. Christ became the servant of all. Christ emptied himself of all, even to the point of death. Brothers and sisters, our freedom in Christ, our freedom in Christ cannot be, must not be misused for our own selves. The American dream, which has so morphed itself from initially being able to worship God freely, but in Christ, has been torn down. And the American dream now is do whatever makes you happy. Do whatever makes you feel good. Seek all the good things of this earth. The American dream has become a nightmare. But that's not what people died to give us. They didn't die for selfishness. Their very laying down of their lives was unselfish and should inspire us to an unselfish life. Their laying down of their lives was Christian and should inspire us to a Christian way of life. We have to break the bonds of selfishness and use this God-given freedom for the other. You know, this week, just in Ocean City, there was a couple who was newly married. They drove down from somewhere in New York and they went to see a movie. And when they got out of the movie, they saw on their windshield, underneath their wiper, where often you might see like a ticket or something like that, they saw a car. And in the car was a gift and a message. The gift was a cash gift. The message was, may God bless your marriage. Unsigned. And they were moved by that. Why were they moved by that? They had probably received many gifts. They were moved because somebody did it anonymously, to the glory of God, to the benefit of their neighbor. They were moved by something extraordinary. They were moved by love. Brothers and sisters, these kind of things are open to us. We go out to eat at a restaurant. We can leave a tip greater than 15%. Well, isn't that the law of the land? Don't you have to leave 15%? Well, you're supposed to give 15. Yeah, as a minimum, you could give 150. Well, who would do that? That money's got to go for my retirement, or I'm on a fixed income. I can't do those kind of things. Oh, yeah, I'm bound by society. I'm bound by the rules of our day and age. I'm bound by this world. I can't do that. Well, actually, yes, we can. Yes, we can. And when we are able to break those bonds, then we're able to live an extraordinary life. Yeah, but Father John, if I start doing that, where's it going to lead? Am I going to give up everything? Where do I need to draw the line? Where do we draw the line as Christians? When do we stop giving? When did Christ stop giving? The same answer, he did it. and we don't. Because in giving, we receive. In laying down our life, we take it again. And by becoming servants and slaves of God, we rule over our freedom. We master our freedom. Brothers and sisters in Christ, extraordinary life is given to us. Our soldiers died for it. Christ himself died for it. Let us be willing to die for it as well. Glory to Jesus Christ. Amen.